Okay, good morning. We're up to the end of Perek Tes. Actually, the end, we're in the middle of the Perek Tes. We're up to Pasik Testain L'chacham. Ketain L'chacham V'yachcham Oid. Continuing this theme, the theme really began with Pasik Ches. Al Toichach Leitz Pen Yisno Eko. Hechach L'chacham V'yeho Veko. And now we continue with this idea, but with the Pasik Tes, Tein L'chacham V'yachcham Oid, give wisdom. Tain is a silent word here in the Pasuk. The silent word is to give wisdom. Tain, give wisdom, lichacham, v'yechkam oid, and he will become wiser. Hoida la tzaddik, make it known to a tzaddik. We'll see what that means. What shall you make known? You should make known techniques. Make known to him, according to the mitzudos, the mishmeres atzedek. Make known to him that it's proper to guard righteousness. V'yosef lekach, and he'll make a mishmeres to mishmeres. It's a very interesting pasuk, especially the second half, and especially the interpretation of the mitzudos David. Let's right away see what it says here. Tein l'chacham ratzalaymer emaloi divrei chochma. Okay, what shall you grant? What shall you give? It's assumed you're giving him wisdom. Give him wisdom. The yechkan midaito odioser. He'll incorporate that wisdom to become even wiser. Hoda latzadik. Now this is very, very interesting. Make it known to a tzadik mishmeres hatzedek that it's worthy to guard righteousness, to enact safeguards for tzedek. And what will he do when you make it known to him that it's proper to enact safeguards? The yosef lekach. Midai to Yosef libu lasos mishmeres l'mishmeres. Okay, this is something which is really, really says it all. Because in today's day and age, many people are adrab. They're questioning why we have to have so many safeguards. This pasuk really says it all. The difference between the chacham and the non chacham, according to Shlomo HaMelech, go and give. Tell a tzaddik. Make it known to him the greatness of how important it is to erect safeguards, not to be nichshol in averos, in order to preserve tzedek. And what will the result? The result will be he'll do even more. He'll make a mishmeres l'mishmeres, a safeguard for the safeguard. That implies the one who is not wise, not only does he not want to make a safeguard, the existing safeguards that have been established, he is in the business, in the process of ripping down, of taking apart. Again, we see today many people, unfortunately, they challenge the existence of all the various takanos that Chazal have enacted, both early takanos, later takanos. That's not the way it's supposed to be, according to Mishlei. Let's see the Rashi. Rashi, Tein L'chacham Yechem Od. Okay, we're going to see over here the Medrash in a few moments. So Rashi alludes to this. L'talmud Chagun, give the wise man. Who is the wise man? The proper Talmud. U'medrash agada nema l'noyach. The Medrash applies this specifically to Noach. We're going to see it applies it to many people, but Rashi is quoting one specific example, Noach. Mikol abhem ha'tahoyra. We'll go through the Medrash in detail. Then Noach, Hashem told Noach, take from the kosher animals 7, or some say 8. How many sets? I think really 8 sets. They make a very precise calculation. There were 8 sets of kosher animals, and there was only 1 set of non-kosher animals. And Hashem did not tell Noach the reason why. But Noach, as I'll tell us, was a wise man. And when he came out of the teva, he realized the reason why Hashem asked him to separate, set aside so many sets of kosher must be because Hashem wants him to offer sacrifices. They shall be korbanos to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and only kosher do you also offer sacrifice, but non-kosher birds and animals who did not offer sacrifices, so therefore he did not do so. And that's so he only came to this conclusion through his own understanding. We'll see that in a little more detail. Hashem wants me to offer from the kosher multiple korbanos. According to Rashi, Rashi is learning not like the mitzudos. Make it known to the tzaddik its poetic repetition, wisdom. For Yosef lakach midaito v'al shemu also, he will add more knowledge to what he has been taught. Again, Rashi and the mitzudos have a very different approach. The end of the pasuk, is it referring to chachma, or does it refer to erecting safeguards? And indeed, we're going to have some of that a little bit more later on. about having safeguards. Okay, but let's just discuss the Medrash. Rashi quoted the first part of the Medrash that tells us that we're dealing over here with Noach. Now the Gemara darshins this Vayiven Noach Mizbech LaHashem. Noach, when he came out of the Teva, he built a Mizbech. He built a Mizbech to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vayiven Noach Mizbech LaHashem. The Gemara darshins, why did the Pasuk use the word Vayiven? To tell us, don't read it Vayiven Ela Vayovein. Understanding. Nisponein v'omar. He reflected, he contemplated, why did Hashem ask me to set aside so many, to bring into the Teva so many sets of these birds and only one set of these? It must be because Hashem really wants me to offer korbanos. No one told that to Noach. Noach figured that on his own. Now, by the way, it's an extremely complex sugya as to exactly how many kosher birds did Noach, birds and animals did Noach bring into the Teva. I told you very simply, eight sets. So one set was left to live in order to populate the world, and the other seven sets were all offered as korbanos. Not everyone agrees that's correct. Some learned that he only brought in a grand total of seven sets, and six were offered as korbanos, so one set was left to live. Some say he brought in one set, zochar nekeva, and he only brought in from the kosher, not sets, he brought in just males or just females. So wasn't the extra, the additional were not complete sets, they were just extra animals for korbanos. Some have a variation. I recently, Parshas Noach, I saw a write-up, a very extensive write-up, an analysis of exactly all the likot from all the different rishonim. The yugam exactly, it's very complicated sugya, how many sets did Noach bring in, but the common denominator is, we understood that Hashem wanted him to bring korbanos, and that's why there was multiple of the kosher and less of the non-kosher, and that was all from his own understanding based upon this very pasuk. He was a wise man. We don't attribute that to we don't use the word chokhmah in reference to Noach. Chacham is Shlomo HaMelech, Moshe Rabbeinu. The word chacham is Noach is an ish tzaddik. Everyone has their own unique title. Yosef is a tzaddik. Avraham and they were the avos. The word chacham is Moshe was Moshe Shlokim. Moshe also was called in Chazal chacham. Chacham Lev Yikach Mitzvos. That pasuk is applied specifically to Moshe. Moshe took the bones of Yosef. Okay, but here we have an interesting medrash that specifically applies the title of Chacham. It's a very big compliment. Okay, Chazal didn't throw around words the way we throw around words. Today everyone is a Gon, Harav Hagon. Today already in the Hakdamas they have to write Hagoin Ho Amiti, the true Gon. And then we have, today in Eretz Yisrael there's a whole hierarchy. There is Hagon today the standards are very, very are very low.
Watered down.
To be called a Gon, you have to be about 30 years old. You're already called a Gon in Eretz Yisrael. Today, higher than the next title is Rebbe. They don't use the word Gon. They use Rebbe so and so. Reish Beis Yud. This is a new standard today. Reish Beis Yud, and then there is Hagon Hagon, then after Rebbe comes Hagon Hagodol. That is still today in Eretz Yisrael reserved for the real heavyweights, the real Gedolim. I don't know the whole hierarchy. My brother who lives in Eretz Yisrael explained to me that what all the different titles, what they mean. That was totally lost on me. I saw something and I said, what is this Hagon Hagodol? I never heard this. You never see this in America, a title.
At the wedding last night, you were three. Hagon HaTzadik.
What? Hagon HaTzadik? Ooh, a new title. You know Rav Ruderman said, Rav Ruderman was at a chasna. He was at a chasna. This goes back probably 40, 50 years. He was at a chasna, and they were calling up one after the other. Hagoyin so-and-so, Hagoyin so-and-so. Rav Ruderman obviously did not hold of these young Rosh Yeshiva to be called Goyin, so he said, someone is sitting next to him, I thought we already passed the Tkuf of the Goinim.
Supposedly, the Tkuf of the Goinim, the title of Goin meant fundraiser.
Could be.
No, it says in the Sfarim, it says to be, the difference between Rav and Goin was a Rav needed to know to get smicha, and be called a Goin, you had to know
60 meseches
by heart.
Goin is begematria 60.
Just the Rav, you only had to know 4 by heart.
The four Siddharim, all 60 Masechtas.
That was the
that's what you need to be called the Gon.
Same thing like that by a wedding, and they. So I said, a friend was Chavrusa, he grew up with this guy, was Chavrusa and Tarbadas. they got speaker together. When they called him up, they gave him the bigger title. And when my cousin got called up, he had just, I said, how come, so I said to him, so this is kind of going, you know, like that. He says, they called on to those who need it.
Okay. Okay.
Never stop, Merida.
Yeah. I once heard someone, a Rav, an older Rav speaking, was giving advice to his Talmidim. He said that it's very healthy to have an ego, and to have a she'ifa for godless. So he said that when you're 20 years old, when you're 20s and your 30s, when you have stationery, if you have a position, if you're a rabbi, you have a position, and on the stationery it says rabbi, or it says some other titles, that's perfectly acceptable. Because when you're in your 20s and your 30s, it's healthy to have an ego. But if by the time you're 40, years old, if on your stationery you're still putting, on your private stationery, you're still putting down the word rabbi, you're in a lot of trouble. That's what he said. By that time already in your life, you should already, it should settle in what this is where you're holding, and you shouldn't need on your private stationary titles. Very interesting approach. Okay, so this is, we have over here this title of Chacham that is applied specifically to Noach. Chazal did not throw around titles, and if they called Noach a Chacham, and this is the lead off Medrash. The Medrash goes on to give many examples of Tein L'Chacham V'yechkam Oid. The one, the lead off, you'll tell me it's because it's chronological. He was the first one in the Torah, but it's not Mukhrach, it's not you can make Diyukim, and I don't know if it's always true that the Medrash goes in order of history, but if the fact that it's the lead off Medrash and we apply the word Vayivin, Vayovain, it says a lot about Noach. He's a very wise man. Yeah.
I didn't understand. What did you mean?
Sometimes you have a medrash, and the medrash says, gives over an idea, and it proves the idea, or gives it numerous examples, five examples, and it references five of the Ishei HaTanach, five individuals in Tanakh. Okay. Does the medrash always illustrate the idea by highlighting these five people in order, the order of when they lived, or does it find an example, a person that fits the model better, even if he's later in time, and then works backwards, or jumps around in history to give examples? I don't know.
It's not easy.
You have to do a study.
I mean, clearly sometimes it goes in Tanakh order.
Order, correct. And sometimes not. Okay, so it is something we should look out for in the future. It's an interesting idea. But here the first one was the lead-off of the Medrash. This is the Medrash. This Medrash is in Shemos Rabbah. Is in Shemos Rabbah. The truth, Shemos Rabbah. The reply certificate. Let's go to the now. Another example. There are many examples, but let's just jump around. Another example is Bezalel. See, Taka, I think in the Medrash it goes out of order. Really, the next one it goes to Moshe. I'm not going to discuss Moshe because I'm not really confused what it means. I'm jumping around, being selective. This is not Yaakov. This is Shemos Rabbah. Shemos
Noah, and then Bezalel.
Okay. Okay, but in the Medrash Rabbah, Shmos Rabbah, Nun Beis, I think it goes first to Noach, then is Moshe, right. Then is Bezalel, and then it goes to Rus. No, it's not in order.
Yeah, it is.
Moshe is before Bezalel.
Where's the
Shmos Rabbah Nun Beis? Which part of Moshe's life? Okay, Ir Gibarim Allah Chacham Sheolame Torah Mipiagvura Ubov Yamar. The time of teaching Torah. Okay, maybe you're right. But I guess before. Okay, you're right. I take it back. You are correct. I stand corrected. You're right. Okay, you're right. Okay, then we come to Bezalel. Okay, Bezalel, I think we all know the Maaseh of Bezalel, where Moshe, I mean, they're conflicting Midrashim is exactly, I'm a little bit confused, I never really got this clear, about HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu to make the Mishkan and the Aron in a precise order, in one order. And Bezalel questioned Moshe Rabbeinu that it should be just the opposite, the order. Now, if I'm not mistaken, there are different midrashim exactly what was the order that Hashem told Moshe. Right, there's a Rashi, and then there's a Medrash that seems to say it's just the opposite. So I always get confused with this. It seems like there are conflicting midrashim by Mor Chazal.
First
the Kalim, and then where are you going to put it? And then the Mishkan. So then you have to have the house. Where are you going to put the Kalim? Okay, so let's learn like that approach. So Bezalel questioned Moshe Rabbeinu that the order that it's incorrect, and Hashem said, "Oh, now I understand why your name is called Bezalel, Bezalel, that you were in the shadow of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to me, you were in the background, eavesdropping. You knew really what Hashem meant, and I misunderstood Hashem," or something along those lines. So Chazal specifically applied this pasuk of Chochma Tein L'Chochma V'Yech Kamod to Bezalel, V'Amali Oisa B'Chochma U'V'Sfuna U'V'Das U'V'Chol Melacha L'Achshev Nachashavais L'Asois B'Azav Kesvan Cheshes. Bezalel was called B'Ferish Torah Chocham, and the Chochma was not just Stam Chochma. He used the chokhmah he received, the yech kam oid. When Moshe Rabbeinu gave him instructions, he was able to add to that chokhmah and figure out Hashem really meant something different. Okay, then I'll give you one more example. Another example is Rus Hamovia. Third example, Rus Hamovia, and surely two more examples. Rus Hamovia and Shmuel Hermasi. Rus Hamovia, that Naomi said to Rus, "I want you first to get dressed, wear your finest clothing, put on makeup, perfume, and then you shall walk here from our humble residence. You shall walk in the street, walk down Avenue J, and then walk to the goyren, into the threshing floor, and lie down." So Rus did not follow her instructions. She wore shmatis. She wore beggar clothing on her trip from her home through the public thoroughfare until she came to the goyren. And then when she came to the goyren, she got dressed there in the goyren before she would come in contact with Boaz. So how she changed the order. Why did she change the order? Because the Medrash applies to her this pasuk, Tein L'Chacham V'Yech Kamoid. She realized that if she would, exactly as Rav Michal said, she would attract attention by walking through the street all dressed up. It's a lack of tznius, and therefore we apply. Then we have another example of Shmuel Haramasi. Eli HaKoyenu told what happened was Shmuel was sleeping, and he heard HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to him in a dream, and said to him, and began to speak to him. So Shmuel thought that Eli was calling him. So Shmuel woke up and he went to the tent of Eli. "Eli, did you call me? Did you wake me up? Did you speak to me? My cell phone rang. I thought it was you." So Eli said to him, "No, I didn't call you. Go back to sleep." He goes back to sleep, and again, the phone is vibrating. He goes to Eli. No, Eli then realized that Hashem is calling. So he told Eli, said to him, that the next time you hear the voice speak to you, you shall say Hashem. He told him, Hashem, daber Hashem, ki shomea avdecha. Speak Hashem, your servant is listening. Indeed, a few moments later, next opportunity, Hashem spoke to him, but he heard a voice calling, but he did not say daber Hashem. He just said daber. He left out the Shem Hashem Yud Kei Vav Kei because he was concerned that maybe it was a shade, it was a malach, maybe it was some other type of voice that was not Mamish HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then he would be might say Shem Shemaim Levatala. So here he did not listen to the command of Eli HaKohen, he deviated from the command, and we apply the pasuk of Tein L'Chacham V'Yech Kamahot. Okay, there are other examples, but I'll give you one other example. Moshe Rabbeinu, this comes to Sichon and Sichon, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, this is an important medrash, this medrash you can maybe apply to modern times. I think it's the Bush Doctrine. This is the famous thing with Palin, when she didn't know what the Bush Doctrine was. What's that? I don't know. What is the Bush Doctrine? It means preemptive attack? Preemptive attack. That's the answer they were looking for. This concept that we have to preempt our enemies, attack them before they attack us. So this really comes from Chazal. Where does it come from? Chazal. Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, "I want you to go, Re'ei, Nasati V'yadcha Es Sichon V'es Og, Hachel Rosh V'his Skarbo Milchama. I want you to possess their land. the hiskar bo milchama, provoke them to war, preemptive attack. And that's the Pashim Shah and the Pasuk. Pashim Shah and the Pasuk, Hashem so told Moshe, but I want you to go and attack the nation of Moab. Sichon and Og and Eved HaYarden. Sichon and Og. So what did Moshe Rabbeinu do? What?
No, go ahead.
Okay, so what did Moshe Rabbeinu do? He didn't listen to Hashem. He did not invade preemptively. Instead, he sent messengers. He sent Voeshlach Milochim. Moshe Rabbeinu sent messengers, Mimidbar Kedemos, from the desert of Kedemos, to the Sichon V'Og and tell them surrender. And they said, no, we're not going to surrender. And then Moshe went out. So Hashem said to Moshe, Moshe, I didn't tell you. I told you to follow the Bush doctrine. I told you preemptive attack. I didn't tell you to first go send messengers and negotiate.
Burning bush?
What? Whatever. I didn't tell you that you should use diplomacy. There's no diplomacy here. Just go and wipe them out. That's the end. These are enemies of the Jewish people. Go and attack. So Moshe said, I learned from you, Hashem. You, Hashem, told me when the first time that you recruited me to work for you to take out the Jewish people from Mitzrayim, did you tell me I should just go and destroy Egypt? Shock and awe. You told me. You sent me to Paro to negotiate. Diplomacy. And that's why it says here the word Midbar Kedemos. The word Kedemos means Kedem. Moshe said, I'm going to behave based upon precedent. What's precedent? Is there the Medrash asks the question, V'chi yesh Midbar Kedemos? Is there a Midbar called Kedemos? Look on the map. There's no such thing as Midbar Kedemos. So what then does it mean? It means Amalek Kadosh Baruch Hu Yofeh. Let me find the pasuk. Kishabikash to lohitzi an es Yisrael miMitzrayim. When you wanted to take the Jewish people out of Egypt, Amarta lechakam the esh lochacha el Paro. Come, let me send you to Paro. And I was sent to Paro to show Paro also some signs with the snake and saras and so on and so forth and that. And then the ten makos as signs to tell Paro to let the Jewish people leave on his own free will. And only when he refused to do so did we go to war, did we destroy Egypt. So Hashem said, you're right. Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yofeh Osisa. You're right. Mikan ve'elach kol ir shahayu yisrael mevakshim likonis l'sochem mikan l'abba. Every time Klai Yisrael want to go to war, we're not allowed to destroy. There's no such thing among the Jewish people as preemptive strikes. Okay, go tell this to the Israelis. They're not exactly going to listen to you. Einam nichnasim ad sheyu poischem lachem b'divrei shalom. The rule now is that when you want to attack a nation, you don't go and attack until you are poseach b'divrei shalom. Shenemar ki sikrav is a pasuk in the Torah. Ki sikrav el ir li lachem olecha. When you want to come close to a city to attack, to go to war against the city, v'karasa elecha l'shalom. Now, how does this fit into modern day, if not for the Israelis attacking? Okay, so you have to interpret it.
It means surrender.
Okay, you have to interpret it, because I think today it's well accepted in the world that it was one of the wise things that Israel did to attack Iraq and destroy their nuclear reactor. And the same thing with Syria, only about 2 years ago. They didn't come negotiate. And now there's a very big debate with Iran. There was no negotiations, and we'll send you messengers, and we'll tell you to surrender. We know that does not work in the modern world. Yet, if you want to follow the halacha, you want to take this medrash, okay, I'm not telling you, you have to interpret the medrash, exactly what you're saying, Rabbi Michal. It's not a contradiction. You have to understand what it means in its context, and apply it modern times. But it definitely is something that you have to deal with. It's a pasuk in the Torah. Ki sikrav el ir li lochem elecha v'karasa elecha l'shalom. You have to first tell them in advance what we're going to do to you if you don't listen to take in consideration our demands. And the Gemara gives us, and the Medrash here gives us the background. And the background is that indeed HaKadosh Baruch Hu originally did not want Moshe Rabbeinu to go out and greet them with peace. He wanted to destroy them. And Moshe, on his own initiative, went and sent messengers for Shalom. On his own initiative, he did this because of Mimidbar Kedemos, because the first time Hashem told Moshe to go to Paro, he sent him to negotiate with Paro. And to this very whole incident, Chazal applied this pasuk in Mishlei that we've just learned, Tein lichacham v'yech kamoid. Moshe Rabbeinu was the chacham. Another example where he's called the chacham, besides the pasuk of chacham levi kach mitzos, v'yech kamoid, and he will add wisdom. Hoydal letzadik v'yosef lakach. So it's definitely another fascinating example.
Rashi on the pasuk the first thing, I mean, the Dabaracha, what you said, is back to Demos. The first one is when he gave you the Torah, so you went to Yishmael and Esau first.
Permission, Rishus. The Midbar Kedemos.
Then it's Dabaracha is what you said.
Interesting. Very interesting. Okay, now, I gave, I think, five examples. There are more, but only five that I think I can figure out what they mean. The five examples, just to review, is Noach. Then we came to Bezalel. Moshe, that one, I didn't understand that one, so I left that one out. But just as then we had Noach, Bezalel, and then we had Rus Hamoravia, Shmuel, and Moshe. That's six? Okay, so five. So why does the Medrash need to give so many examples? So I don't know why, but on a very superficial, shallow understanding, each one is a very different type of Yosef Chochma. Noach on his own, there was no contradiction. Hashem told Noach to do something. Noach's actions was not a contradiction, was not a challenge to what he was told. Noach was presented, here's the data, you figure it out. I'm giving you to take eight sets of kosher, one set of non-kosher. You figure it out. Vayiven Noach Mizbeach. Do'al Tikri Vayiven Ela Vayoven. That's one example of Tein Lechachem V'yech Kam Ot. When it goes to, let's say, Shmuel Hermasi, he disobeyed the order, the command. It's a different type. It's a much more serious type of example. Shmuel, Eli said to him, when you hear the voice, you shall say, Daber Hashem Ki Shemei Avdecha. He completely disobeyed. He didn't say Hashem. He said Daber Ki Shemei Avdecha. So that's a diff. So maybe here you would say you have no right. That's not in the category of Tein Lechachem Yechamot. No, that's also valid. Okay, could talk about Rus Hamovia. She didn't disobey. And she didn't have to figure out any data. She changed the seder. She was told first get dressed and then go to the goren. She first went to the goren and then got dressed. There wasn't any deciphering of the data, and there wasn't any disobeying of the command. It was a change in seder. That's also an example of Tein Lechachem V'yech Kamot. Okay, look at Moshe. Moshe was told go and wage war. So what did Moshe do? Moshe said, I have a precedent. That's a different category. Moshe is not acting out on his own entirely. Moshe, I have a command, but I also have a history with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the past told me to do something. So let me go to the far, the archives and see how things were done in the past, and maybe that will shed light on what HaKadosh Baruch Hu really wants from me right now. That's a different type of example of Tein Lechachem V'yech Kamot. Okay, what other example do we leave out? Bezalel. Moshe Rabbeinu told him to build the Kalim and then build the Mishkan. And Bezalel said, we asked the question. Now Bezalel here didn't actually do anything until he challenged Moshe. It's a different example also. Bezalel did not act immediately on his own. He didn't violate the command. He made a request. I need clarification. You're telling me to do something which doesn't seem correct. Let me challenge you. He didn't act until he actually did. So the reason why the Medrash is giving us some, this is a very typical idea, and when you look in the Sfarim that give the Perush on the Medrash, there are a lot of new things there on Medrash. Arshko put out some fascinating volumes on Medrash. They're very, very nice. It's a very nice piece of work. It's an amazing piece of work what they did. But this is a very typical approach. When you're dealing with Medrash, the Medrash gives Motel Zimzer, Mechol, you're the Mumcha in this matter. When Medrash gives multiple examples, is they're coming not just to repeat itself, it's coming to show you the same idea when you look at it from a different dimension, there are different dimensions in each Maimer Chazal. Okay, let's now go to another idea. That's it. Let's go to the next Pasuk. Pasuk Yud. Pasuk Yud begins, Tchilas Chachma Yiras Hashem. The beginning of Chachma is fear of Hashem, V'das Kedoshim, and the knowledge of the Holy is Binah. Let's see the simple interpretation in Mitzvah, the Stav, Pasuk Yud. Tchilas Yiras Hashem Hi Tchilas HaChachma. It's the beginning of Chachma, Ki Hayira Mevia Lidei Chachma. Yira brings Lidei Chachma. Now here, the next part of the Pasuk is a little bit more difficult. V'das Kedoshim. Lekadesh atzma b'mutter lo mevi lidei bina. This is consistent with what the Mitzudo stuff said back in Pasuk Tes. In the Pasuk Tes, it says, Hoda la tzadik. What shall you give to the tzadik? A mishmeres, a safeguard. A safeguard, you shall inform the tzadik that you shall erect safeguards, and the tzadik not only will erect a safeguard, he'll go and he'll erect a safeguard for a safeguard. That's the same idea. To be Mekadesh, it's permitted. There's nothing technically wrong with what you're doing. However, to Lekadesh, the knowledge of Kedoshim, knowledge here, Kadosh means to sanctify yourself, but Mutalo, things which are truly permitted, yet you hold back, you refrain from, that will bring Lidei Bina, that brings to understanding. So there's Chochmah. Chochmah is the basic level of knowledge. Bina is a deeper level of knowledge. If you want to merit the basic level of knowledge, 101, Chochmah 101, you need Yiras Shamayim, fear of God. But if you want to go to the more advanced courses, it's not just to have Yira, you have to go further, you have to be a Perish. You have to refrain from things which are mutter, mimakadesh atzmoy b'mutter loch. Only then can you expect to receive the deeper degree, the advanced degrees of knowledge. Okay, now what's the obvious kash that you all think about? Rashi. Rashi says, "Tchilas tchachma yiras Hashem, v'das kedoshim hi ikar habina." The knowledge of kedoshim, the knowledge, the ability to recognize that a person has to be poresh midover hamutter. We'll assume that's what the Rashi means here as well. That is the ikar habina. That's what brings deep understanding. Now, what's the obvious question that's on your mind? How do we reconcile this with Reishis Chochma Yiras Hashem? So we have two psukim. One says Reishis Chochma, and here it says Techilas Chochma. What is the difference between the word Techila and the word Reishis? It's a famous question. Okay, in the art scroll, he brings in the Malbim. Malbim has a famous answer to the difference, and there he explains it very, by Ginsberg explains this in a very nice way into this pasuk. The difference between, according to the Malbim, Malbim has a dictionary, it's called HaKarmel. That's the name of this. It's a two volume, it's printed today as two volumes. HaKarmel, it's also called Yoir, I forgot what it was, HaKarmel. And there, in the part of the dictionary, he takes synonyms, and he explains in detail the difference between the deeper meaning between synonyms. And one of the examples is techila and reishis. Reishis is the first of a set. When you use the word reishis, there's an implication, a connotation, that it's going to be a second. When you say something, this is number one, that means there's a number two, and there's number three, and there's number four. Reishis, it's the first of a set. There's more to come. This just happens to be number one. Techila is like the introduction, the forward. It's something which comes before anything else. It's in the category all by itself. Okay, I'll give you an example. We say every day in Shemona Esrei, we say, Ashiva Shoifetenu Kivori Shoina. So we have over here two different words, Rishayna and Kivat Chila. Who are the Shoftim? The Shoftim are Shiva Shofteinu. They're matched up with the word Karui Shaina. The Shoftim, the judges. The Atzeinu, our counselors, they're called Techila. Who are the counselors? So if you look in the commentators, some, not all, explain Yatzeinu refers to the prophets, to the Nevi'im. Shoifteinu, a Shoifet, are judges. You don't have to be a Navi to be a Shoifet. You have to have a degree. You have to have smicha. You have to know Shulchan Aruch on your fingertips. Then you can become a Shoifet. When it comes to a Navi, that's already a category by itself. Now, here's the difference. When it comes to a Shoifet, Chazal tell us, Niskadnu Hadoros. We are not allowed in our generation, every generation, we're not allowed to overturn takanas from previous generations unless the bezdin of our generation is greater than the previous bezdin, both in number and in chokhmah. And being that, in our day and age, niskatnu hadaros, the degree of chokhmah is getting weaker and weaker, it's not likely we're going to be able to overturn any takana. Now, that means when you have a judge today, you look at a judge today. Do we have respect for Talmid, judge, our Shoftim today? Absolutely. But relative to our predecessors, they were on a much higher madrega. When Mashiach will come and Litchias Amesim and the judge, the previous generation will be resurrected, we'll also have respect for the judge of this generation. It's just that relative to the greatness and the wisdom of the previous generations, they're just not the same. They're number 10 on the list. Whereas someone from the previous generation was number 1. So when it comes to a Shoifet, we don't want to, when we say Kavori Shaina, we don't want to diminish the judges from today. Today we have respect. In other words, this. We don't want to be disrespectful. Well, what does this mean? You go and come to shul. You have in front of you on the mizrach of the shul. You have the Sanhedrin, and he davening chazar sashatz, and he say with a lot of kavana, Hashiva shoifteinu kavori shayna. So it's an insult. Is it not an insult to all of the dayanim sitting on the mizrach? You're a good bunch of good for nothings. We don't need you anymore. We want to bring back the old ones. It's insulting. Is it not insulting? No, it's not insulting because we don't mean to diminish the covet we have for you. Of course we have respect for you. That's exactly why we call the earlier judges the Rishonah. Because the word Rishon has within it the connotation that there is a Sheni, and there's a Shlishi, there's a Revi, and there's a Chamishi. There's more to come. It's just that. Everyone recognized that the judge in the previous generation were greater than the judge of this generation. But when it comes to a prophet, Chazal tell us there's no difference between, you can't put them in order. Ein shnei neviim misnabin besignon echot. No two prophets give over a message in the same style. Every Navi is unique. So you can't go put them in order. We're going to take Yeshaya, and we're going to take Yecheskel, Chavakuk, and Daniel, and Ezra, if we want to call them Nevi'im and David, we're going to line them up. They're from different generations, each one indeed an earlier Navi, maybe on a higher Madrega, but Nevi'im are not people that you can serialize. You can't rank. Okay? It's not like a Google search result. Who comes first? So you're not going to be able to put them in order. There's no ranking. Everyone is unique. And Chazal make this, they make this point. Ein, Shnei, Nevi'im, Misnabin, Misignon, Echad. So you can't say about the Nevi'im, Rishon, Sheni, Shlishi, Chami.
Because we're told that's the only one, Moshe.
Moshe was the Av. He's not called the Rishon. He's called the Av, the father. Okay, you have to be very precise. And Echanami, he's not called the Rishon. He's the father. Why didn't Chazal say he's the Rishon Sheben Nevi'im? Because you can't serialize, you can't rank Nevi'im. He was the father. And from there came all of everyone else. So therefore, when it comes to the Yoatzenu, our counselors, which is a code, according to some, as Nevi'im, we use the word Techila. Okay, we use the word Techila. Okay, let me give you another good example. The Chumash, for this example. Okay, make sure I remember the Parsha, Parshas Vayera. That was last week, right? only a few days ago. So last week we learned in the beginning of the parasha, very interesting. Pasuk Avram, he travels. He has the maisa with maybe it was Parashas Lech Lecha. Give me 1 second. No, it's not last week. It's Parashas Lech Lecha. Lech Lecha. Tchila, the beginning. Vayhira Ba'aretz. I hear. Okay, after he was abducted, Vayal Avram Mitzrayim. Yeah.
Yeah, because you mentioned it.
Oh, here it is. I got it. Okay. Vayelich Lamasav. After Avraham, Lamasav Balkari. After Avraham survived the ordeal in Mitzrayim, and he left with Sarah. Vayal Avram Mitzrayim Hu v'ishtoy v'chol ha'shalo lodi mahanegba. By Avram kaved mot, he was burdened with. He was very wealthy. By mikne, by kesef azav, he was loaded. Okay. Vayelech lemasaav minegev yad beisel ad hamakom. Where did he go? He went backwards. Ad hamakom ashohoya sham oholo batechila bein beisel bein ha'oy el makom hamizbeach asher osa sham barishayna. So here we have one pasuk and two words are being used. Techila and Rishayna. The word Techila is matched with the word his tent, and the word Rishayna is being matched with Mizbeach. Why? Why Rishayna for Mizbeach and why Techila for the tent? And the answer is with this Malbim, it's very obvious. A Mizbeach represents the spiritual experience. The Ohel, the tent, represents his physical existence, his parnasa, support. Avraham went through a traumatic event. There was a famine, he had nothing to eat, he went to Mitzrayim, his wife was abducted, he almost lost his life, he had a traumatic experience. Okay, he comes back from this traumatic experience and he goes back home. When he goes back to his Ohel, it's Techila. It's Techila. When he goes back to the Mizbeach, the Beis HaKnesses, it's Rishayna. Why? When Techila means it's like it never happened. It's like the introduction. It's as if the Pasuk is telling us that the trauma of what happened to Avram in Egypt with Sarah, it never happened. It did not leave any mark, any effect on Avraham. When he came back to where he was, okay, so I had an ordeal. I had a difficult situation. It did not affect me whatsoever. But as far as my spiritual outlook, the spiritual experience I had, I've learned, I've gained, and I've grown from the experience. So when he came back to the Mizbech, to the Beis HaKnesses, this was the Rishayna. This was the shul that I went to the first time. But Rishayna has a connotation. There was a second Mizbech, there was a third Mizbech, there was a fourth Mizbech. There was a religious experience I had here 5 years ago. And then when I was in Egypt, I had another Mizbech, so to speak, another religious experience, and then another experience. And now I'm coming back to this Mizbech. This was the place where it all started. But I don't want to forget of the spiritual experience that I had when I was in Egypt. That's why he chose the word Rishayna. But as far as my physical well-being, water off a duck. Big deal. So I was my wife was taken hostage and I was nearly killed. It doesn't affect me because Baruch Hashem, I'm alive, I'm well, I'm healthy, everything is good and fine. Why should I let the experience weigh me down and burden me? It's as if it never happened. But from the Ruchnius point of view, from my Ruchnius, I've grown from the experience. I saw the Yad Hashem. I saw Nisim Niflos. I saw Hashkocha Pratis. I'm a different person. So that's why he chose two different words. When a person goes through an experience in life, you are physically changed and you are spiritually changed. The spiritual change used to your advantage. grow from it. The physical part of the experience, forget about. It's not going to make a difference. It's not going to die to focus and to dwell upon. It's not going to bring you any benefit. Focus and live for, just forget about it. When you recover, it's kitchila. It's like it never, ever, ever happened. But the ruchnius, that's going to be called rishayna, because rishayna, shniya, shlisha, shrivias, you're always going from one madrega to the next madrega. That's why the two words are used differently in this very one pasuk. Now, how do you apply this to yirah shamayim? Going back to the pasuk in Mishlei, so what it says, Rabbi Ginsburg says he goes back to a classic idea. There are two basic types of yirah shamayim. There's yirah sachet and there's yirah haroimimus. There is fear of punishment and there is awe. You have fear, if I'm going to sin, Hashem will strike me down. If I do an avera, Hashem is going to punish me in this world or the next world. It's not going to be good. So it's just not, it's not profitable. It's not profitable. It's not kedai to sin. And then there is a higher level of yiras haroimimus, the exaltedness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I appreciate your exaltedness. So he wants to say, that's the difference between these two different types of yira. Reishis chokhma yiras Hashem, techilas chokhma yiras Hashem. You need both. Techila is fear of punishment. That's what he wants to say, is techila. Because techila is something that is on the outside. It's like an introduction. It's the very beginning. Before you can begin studying Torah, you have to realize there is reward and punishment. There are consequences. When you study Chachma, you have to act upon it. You don't have to have awe of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You don't have to be impressed with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's grandeur, his infinite abilities, his essence. You have to realize, if you're going to study Torah, it's not just theoretical. It's practical. That's Techilas Chachma Yiras Hashem. Then when you begin to study Chachma, and you begin to appreciate the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the awe, that takes the Chachma to a new level. And that that grows as you develop. There is Reishis Chachma Yiras Hashem. When you begin to study Torah and you see the holiness, the divine nature of Torah, that's Reishis. That's just the beginning. Because when you graduate from course 101 to course 102, then the Yirah Shamayim is even deeper. Then it's a Shniyah, and then it's a Shlishis, and a Revius, Chamishis. You keep on going, Sheni, Shlishi, Chamishi, Revi, Chamishi, Shishi. You keep on going higher and higher, Madrega. It's serialized. You go higher and higher in your depth of your appreciation. That is, so that's how Rabbi Ginsburg wants to fatayit to two different sukkim. We have the Mam to review Chaz the entire concept. We have two words. We have Techila and we have Reishis. Techila is on the outside, an introduction, it's a forward. Reishis is the first of a set. First of Zehayom Tilsasech, the first of the second days. But Bereishis, Barulukim Eitashavetzaret, it was the beginning of what was yet to come. So there is Reishis and there is Tchila. When the two examples we gave was in the Shmona Esrei, Hashiva Shoftenu Kivari Shonav Yotenu Kivatchila. We have the pasuk here in Parashas Lech Lecha. Ma'ar Avinu is returning back to his Oel and his Mizbeach. The Oel is Tchila, the Mizbeach is called Reishis. And now we take this and we plug it into the two psukim in Mishlei, Reishis Chachma Yiras Hashem, Tchila Chachma Yiras Hashem. There are two types of fear of heaven. There is fear of punishment, which is not, and then there's awe. And before you can begin to study, you must tchila, the forward for Torah, realize schar v'onish. If you're not going to come at least with that basic realization that this is serious business, this is not a game, this is reality, punishment and reward, don't bother touching the Torah.
Reish, we have another pasuk, the das ha.
Ladas, okay, there are many psukim that talk. The whole Sefer Mishnah is full of.
They mention that pasuk in the Mefarshim, Ladas Chochma Musa, because Musa is Torah and it's
Musar. Okay, is fear. Okay,
the Mam brings in the pasuk.
Okay. But so all these are related. But these are two. In fact, if you want, there are seven psukim in Tanakh that directly connect year of fear with Chochma. Here are two. Here we've discussed. Reishis Chachma and Tchilas Chachma. We mentioned when we started reading the Sefer, we went spent a lot of time on this as well. There's another pasuk there also, I forgot the pasuk, but there's a grand total in the entire Tanakh, 7 sukkim within one phrase, within a few words, the idea that Yira relates to Chachma. And at least here we have one approach to explain this contrast between the two. Okay, that's this pasuk. Let's go to the next pasuk. So Tzchilas Chachmi Ras Hashem V'das Kedoshim, and the knowledge of realizing that a person must be Mekadesh Atzmai B'Motulach. Just because the Torah says it's smuter does not mean that you're allowed to do it. That means that there are different madrigals. There's a simple person, for a child, it's smuter. But as the person has more maturity, he realizes that it's a good thing to be Pirish in order to reach higher levels of understanding. And that is important. Pasuk Yud Aleph, this is a very famous pasuk. We say this pasuk at every siyum. Kivi, through me, through the Torah, Yirbu Yamecha, you will increase your days. V'yosifu l'choshnos chayim. Now, what does that mean according to the Pshutus Shalmikos? It's not so easy. The Mitzudos says, Kivi means Bavur Esek HaTorah. Through the study of Torah, Yirbu Yamecha, you will increase days, you'll live a lot, you'll live many days. Now, therefore what? Now we go into the next part. What does that mean? Does it mean in this world? According to the Mitzvah, this means in the next world. It means, when you'll have in this world many days, that will mean you'll have many opportunities to do mitzvos. Okay, fascinating interpretation. That's not the way the average person, most person, people just look at this poetic repetition. As the Mitzvah himself likes to say many times, that if you'll do the mitzvahs, you'll have long days and long years. Arichas yamim and arichas shanim. But that's not how he interprets it here. You'll have only the most you could expect to have learning Torah in this world. The Torah is arichas yamim, many days. Doesn't tell you that you can have long years. Every single day will count. Whatever Hashem has given a person. And during every day that counts, we'll have an opportunity on that day to do Mekayim a mitzvah. Mitzvah is semaisim tovim. And through those mitzvahs, semaisim tovim, he will acquire years in Olam Haba, which obviously we don't know what that means. But that's how he interprets over here. According to the Rashi says, not like the Mitzudos, Rashi is this is an unusual difference in opinion. Rashi here is learning Alderch Pshat, the Yosiv L'choshnos Chayim, Shonim, years in this world, Shel Chayim, Heim Shel Parnosa V'Oishar, support and wealth. So over here it goes to show that Parnosa and Oishar are two different things. At least according to Rashi. What's the chilek between Parnosa and Oishar? You have Oishar, L'chor you have Parnosa. Not necessarily. You have a lot of assets, but you can't have any benefit from them. Parnasa means you have a support, pleasure in this world itself. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Try to finish up the parak. Im chochamta, Shlomo here says, Im chochamta, chochamta loch. If you have become wise, it's your benefit. It's the wisdom is for you. There's no one that can take away wisdom. The latzta, and if you choose to be a latz, levadcha si, so you alone will bear the consequence of your averos. Now this chachma, this is the famous medrash chachma is something which is eternal. No one can take it away. If a person spends his entire life accumulating wealth, so that's a dangerous pursuit, because easy come, easy go. If Hashem sees Hashem does not, if Hashem wants, the wealth can be lost in one day. A person can spend his entire life slaving away to earn money, more than he needs to survive, and then one day he wakes up and all the money is gone. It was stolen, it was lost, he had to spend it in against his will for things that he did not want to spend it on. But if a person acquires knowledge, you spend your time learning Torah, that knowledge that you have acquired, no one can take away from you. It's yours forever. And even, Rahman al-Stan, people who have loss of memory, people, the person gets older, and the person's mind does not work the same way, we have a Masorah that it's all there. It's all locked up in the mind, and in Olam HaEmes, all the knowledge a person acquires in his youth, in his prime years, is all there. It's never lost. It will accompany him to the next world. So if a person becomes Chochamta, you should know Chochamta Lach. The Chochma is to you. It is the true acquisition that you can take out from this world. Money you can't take with you to the next world, that's for sure. But you have no guarantee you'll take with you even in this world. You have no guarantee you'll pass it on to your children. Money is... It's a dangerous thing to pursue. If Hashem gives a person a bracha, kol hakavod. But to go and to pursue it, there's no guarantee. But chokhma, that is the guarantee. Pam always, people, remember, for some reason, certain things always stick out in your mind. Rabbi Reisman used to always say this over in Tarvadas to the Talmidim, is that every so often there's a sign on the wall that is a levaya. There's a levaya, Rachman al-Tzlan, Layalenu, someone from the yeshiva, a parent, a snift, or whatever it is. And many times people, not everyone knows every student in yeshiva. Some you know, some you don't know. Some you know better, some you don't know better. And you always have a dilemma, should I go to the levaya? Is it the right thing for me? This is not someone I know very well, but I know him. I know him well enough. Should I go and take off today from Seder and go to the levaya? So sometimes it's, of course, this is your best friend, you have to go. Or sometimes this guy, I don't really know him, so you definitely don't go. But sometimes it's somewhere in the middle. So what should you do? So Rav Palm would always say, if you have a suffix, so it could be that you'll go to the levaya, and you'll come back and you'll say, what a waste of time. It was foolish for me to go. There was really no need for me to go. Alright, I went. If you'll sit and learn for the next 4 hours, you're guaranteed you'll never have charata for learning. That's a guarantee. So ain't a suffik motse mi deva. If it's a vadai, so go. If it's for sure not, then for sure don't go. Don't flee from the machas that are looking to go. But if you're gonna sit and learn today and you have a suffik, should I go? So look, suffik. Learning Torah, will you come to have charata that I went to the levaya? Yeah, there's a very real chance you'll have charata. Why did I go? Will you one day have charata? Why you spent these 4 hours learning Torah? No, it's not precursors to say that. If you spend 4 hours learning Torah, to go say that you had charata, why did I spend those 4 hours learning Torah? It's apikorsis. So don't go. That's his rule. So we hear when it comes to chachma, a person spends time, a person makes difficult choices. I can go now and go to work. I could spend some time working, and if I'll work, who knows? I may do very well today in my pursuit, my business pursuit. Maybe yeah, maybe not. It's a gamble. I'll take a trip out to California. There might be some big business there waiting for me. Maybe yeah, maybe not. If I don't go, I'll survive. I have all the parnasa. But here, other choice is, I can sit and learn the whole next week. You'll never have charata for learning, but you may have charata for going. Im chochamta, chochamta loch. You guaranteed what you have, you'll have. The money you'll make, if you'll make, who says it will remain with you forever? You're not going to take it to the next world. Okay, of course, you have to balance this. You know, a person has to make parnasa, and today to make parnasa, you have to mamish, kill yourself, commit suicide to make parnasa. Not coming to minimize that, but it's a very powerful lesson. Nevertheless.
Nobody ever died saying, oh, I wish I had spent more time at work.
All right, that's for sure. Okay, and then the end is the latsta, that's self-explanatory. A person's latsta, then the only one that's going to bear the punishment for the latsan is you yourself. Let's see the mitzvah's pasuk. Mitzvah's pasuk, yud beis. You don't take your sense of you with you? I don't know. Like we always say, no one came back to tell us. So it goes on there. They make jokes in Shemayim. Is there such a thing as making jokes? I don't know. Let's see what it says in the Mitzvah. Chacham to lach pasuk yud beis. Hachochma tia l'chol etu elas tachachma be for you for the for your benefit. The latsta. Im tisleitze it's banashim atal vatcha tisa aynash you yourself will bear the consequence, you will suffer the punishment. Okay, let's go to Let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Yud Gimel Eishas Kisilos Humia Pasius Ubal Yodama. The woman of foolishness, Eishas Kisilos. Kisil is a fool. It's a very complex use of the word. The woman of foolishness. What does she do? Homia. She makes a lot of noise. A foolish woman talks a lot. Chazal say that Hashem gave 10 kavna of sikha came down to the world. Who took 9 of it? Women. 9 tenths. Who took the 10? Who took the last kav? Me. The last kav was divided among the rest of the world. So here it says.
So another 60%
go to women. Eishes kavi, eishes kisilos homia. Homia means a tumult, a lot of noise. Pasius of homia of pasius vubal yodama, and she doesn't even know what she's saying. This woman makes a lot of noise and asks after the long conversation, after this whole after her speech, ask, what did you say? Can you summarize that? Can you give me a synopsis? You made a drasha for 2 hours. So what's the message? What's the bottom line? Right? It's like the kollel. What did you learn? You went to kollel for 2 years. What did you learn over here? What did you learn after 2 hours? Right? Then if your wives ever come and ask you, so what did you spend 2 hours in kollel? So what did you learn? I don't know. That's exactly the problem. Eishes kesilos homia upasius abal yodama. She does not even know what she's saying. Mitzvot Tosfos Yud Gimel. Eishes kesilos hine. Behold, isha sachla, a foolish woman, tohama bekola. I'm not sure I'm saying that correctly, but it means that she makes a lot of noise with her voice. Vhi pisius, the words that come out of her mouth is foolishness. It's foolishness. Ve'ena yodas mu'uma, she doesn't know what she's saying. Vitohama biblidas, she just makes sounds without any knowledge.
Like Shakespeare said, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing.
Psst, you're bucking Shakespeare, wow.
No.
Okay, good line. Good line. Now this pasuk was said by who is it said about this pasuk? Okay, this Yalkut Shemoni really goes on to the next sugim. Our time goes on to the next sugim. This pasuk was interpreted in reference to Chava. Chava was the one that spoke too much. She enticed, she seduced her husband to eat from the Eitz Hadas. She was the foolish woman, Hoimia, who made a lot of noise, and the noise that came out of her mouth was Pisayus, foolishness. Ubal Yodama, she did not know what she was talking about. She lied. She told him, look, Hashem said don't touch. Hashem never said don't touch. Hashem said don't eat. The same way nothing happened by touching, nothing's going to happen when you eat from the Eitz Hadas. So she did not know. All her arguments were foolish arguments. It was just foolish sound that came out of her voice. That is how. Now the truth is, the next pasuk will go on to illustrate in more detail exactly what she said, and we'll leave that for next time. Amir Hashem.